Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. My name is Amanda, and I'm an early childhood educator in Ontario, Canada. And this podcast is a place where I talk about all things kindergarten. I pick a topic for the week, and I share my thoughts, my ideas, my learning around that topic, and continuing with the theme of having amazing educators on the podcast to share in their expertise. This week, we have Jamie joining us for a conversation around different roles that you can do outside of the classroom to either further your career or find new passions or, you know, just find and connect with other educators. We go through a bunch of different ideas and places to find those kinds of positions. Some of them I've never even thought of before. She gives some amazing ideas, and we talk about the different roles that we've each had that are outside of the classroom but still connected to education, which is a lot of fun. So make sure you are following Jamie over on Instagram, the.teaching.learner. And as we will talk about a little bit in this podcast episode, you can also find her on LinkedIn. I will put all that in the show notes for you. But for now, let's just jump into this amazing conversation I got to have with Jamie. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. Today, I am joined by Jamie, and she is here to talk about different roles outside the classroom, and I'm so excited to have a chat with you, Jamie, this morning. I'm very excited to meet you, like, quote-unquote, in person.
Yes. Thank you, Amanda. I'm very excited to be here. Amanda and I talked about a little bit before, I am an OCT and an RCE, and I love both roles very much. I also still pay dues to both because although I started as an ECE, that I feel like going to school for EC taught me the most about education and the most about child development and the most about teaching. So I'm always like encouraging people to either get their EC or to learn more about child development. Currently, starting next week, I will be teaching kindergarten again. So this will be my third year in kindergarten, second year back-to-back in person. The first year I did it, it was online. I worked as an EA before I became a teacher and an ECE before I became an EA. And I've done a few things outside of the classroom, which we'll get into in our conversation today.
I am loving all of the different roles that you have experience in the classroom. I feel like that would make you the perfect teaching partner because you have such an understanding of all of the different things that need to happen in the classroom, especially that child development piece, which is so critical in the early years. Like, I've talked about this before on the podcast, like some of our little peanuts that come in are still only 3 years old.
Yes, like, they are.
And you have to, even as an ECE, I'm constantly reminding myself, like, this little one is three. They've only been around for 3 years. Like, we have to keep that constantly in the back of our minds. And yeah, it's just,
it's wild. Tiny. But going back to what you're saying, I do, as a teacher now, I think all my other roles have informed my teaching. And I also think of myself kind of an advocate for other roles as well, because sometimes you're in conversations with other teachers that don't understand necessarily the role of an ECE or an EA. And it's kind of, I'll pipe up and I'll be like, well, you know, it's because of this. And this is, on paper, this is what their role and this is their experience. So I like that piece too. But I think growing up, I always wanted to be a teacher. I know that. And I danced around it because, funny enough, back in the day, there was talk that there weren't any teaching roles.
Yep, exactly right.
Yeah. And so I kind of danced around it. I was still working in education, but I danced around it and it worked out perfectly. I wouldn't change anything for anything. And there are summers where I still work at a daycare because I just miss the love of a toddler. And I miss being able to like get close and hug and stuff. And you can't do that as a teacher, but yeah.
Yeah. As an early childhood educator myself, I've had some incredible teaching partners. I've been so lucky with the teaching partners that I have had who have advocated for me when I've been called a helper by other teachers in other grades or by parents where, oh, you're so lucky you have a helper in the classroom. And I'm like, excuse me, who am I helping?
No,
I'm an educator. And so I've been very, very lucky to have some amazing teaching partners. And I think it also comes down to the school community that you're in and the leadership and how they support all the different roles in the school environment. So as an ECE, I do love my role. And same exact thing, when I was going to school to become an early childhood educator, I couldn't even get into teachers college because I had some fantastic grades, but you needed to have volunteer hours. You need, like, to get into teachers college, you had to jump through all of the hoops.
Like, and the Hunger Games.
Yeah, it was insane when I wanted to go to teachers college. So one of the ways to get to teachers college was you got your early childhood education degree, and then you applied to teachers college. But then I started working in the lower grades with kindergarten students, and I just fell in love with being an early childhood educator. So kind of a similar background. Yeah. You couldn't get a job as a teacher when I first started.
It was, and I was just like, so what do I do? And I did things backwards too. And I always tell people there's no, and like you mentioned, there's no right way to get into any of the roles in education. No. And I think for a lot of people, getting to where you need to go happens very authentically. Like you said, you plan to go to teachers college, but then you just fell in love with the age groups you were working. And that is beautiful. And that means that you're passionate and you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. For me, it was, I did an undergrad and then I was just like, so what next? And then there was, oh, there's no jobs in teaching. So I'm like, I'm not going to apply then. And then I went to college and I did the EC program and I was just, it was like an eye opener because I, you know, I think for many of us educators, especially in early childhood education, we knew from like when we were kids that that was like the age group we wanted to do that. So I babysat. So that's kind of, it was like a natural transition. And then I worked for the region of Peel for 2 years here in Ontario. And I don't know, Amanda, you heard about the region of Peel. They shut down all their childcare centers at some point. And I was only supplying then. So it was kind of like, okay, what do I do? And it turned out that my brother's best friend's mom at the time was a child and youth worker with Dufferin Peel Catholic District School Board, where I work now. And she called me and she said, do you want to be an ERW, which is the acronym educational resource worker is like an EA in our board. And I said, yes, I had no idea what that was.
You're like, I need a job. I'm just going to take that job. Go for it.
Yeah, because she did describe it a little bit. And at that time too, the backstory, I was, and I'll get into all the other side things that I do outside of education. I was working with Erin Oak Kids. And so that is how she knew that I was into like working with kids with special needs. So I took that job for about 2 years. And I think at the time for 2 years, and I think I started a master's program because the other part of me personally, I like to learn. I'm always learning. I'll pick up an article. I'll take a course. Now my whole thing is it must be a free course because I'm not spending any more money. But so I started a master's program in developmental psychology and education, and I specialized in special education. So I was doing that. And then as an EA, I got tapped on the shoulder by my VP and my principal, and they're like, why don't you consider teaching? And in my mind, I always wanted to be a teacher, but I was okay if things went another way at that point. And long story short, I applied that year. I managed to get in. I went to York University, and they had like a cohort for people with EC background. So it was like a nice transition. And then here I am.
There's so many different paths in education and how you get there.
Sure. Yes.
I actually did my BA at York University, so we have a similar education, I guess, background in that way.
Yes.
I actually really enjoyed York University. It was a far trek because I was living in Oshawa at the time, and it was a far trek, but I really loved the educators at York University and the campus, and just it was a really nice place to be.
It's the journey. And I always tell people too, I know because some people are like, oh, you've done all this stuff. It's the journey. And I think I was addicted, quote unquote, to the journey of like learning and figuring it out. And I'm still that type of person, although I've piped down a lot because, you know, life happens and there's other goals other than my career. But along the way, so right now, to talk a little bit about my side gigs, as I call them, I always tell people networking is so important. Talk to people, and it's not, I don't network to get somewhere. I network to learn and to just learn about different avenues, different organizations and education, because that's important too. I personally think that's important to understand the realm of education in the broader sense. So for me, I'm very involved with my union. So currently, right now, I'm part of the OECTA writing team. So I just earlier on the school this calendar year in about February, I finished up a writing project where I audited and added to the kindergarten AQs.
Nice.
So yes, so I just kind of went through them, incorporated more equity, updated some of their resources. So that is one of my part-time jobs. And I like
And that
that
was
because
part of the union, right? Not part of the school board, part of the union.
part of the union.
Okay.
And
Just want to
so
make that clear.
yes. So I just say network and okay, let's roll it back. So I am a union rep for my, it's just there's so many
There's so
branches.
many things. Yeah. There's so, again, there's so many paths to get to different things, right? So
Yes.
this is your
Yes.
path.
Yes, this is my path. So I am a union rep at my school. I do a lot of stuff with my local unit. Yeah, I had a tongue twister this morning. Local unit. And so because I do that, I attend a lot of the general meetings and the conferences, which led to me networking with someone at the provincial office. So that's kind of how my hat got put into a conversation. My name got put into a hat or of a conversation. And then I was asked to apply and I did. And that's how that happened. And that's another side thing too. It's I do volunteer a lot. So I do have a lot of volunteer experiences with my union. I'm currently one of the co-chairs of the Anti-Black Racism Committee and the Human Rights and Status of Women Committee. So those are like things that I'm passionate about. And again, you find what you're passionate about and you keep it rolling.
Yeah.
So that's just one of my little, I'll talk about more.
So that, no, that's a great piece of advice for people who are looking for, opportunities outside just being in the classroom, joining or not even joining because you're part of the union, like automatically, but being a part, an active member of your union can lead to a lot of opportunities, even knowing like your local, it's not a steward because stewards are school, local union leader. Just having a relationship with them can open a lot of doors. Earlier in the school year last year, I was approached by our union leader to come and do professional development at the union level for other early childhood educators. So there's opportunities to join committees. There's opportunities to provide professional development. There's lots of opportunities within the union itself to support other educators and support the work that's being done. Because I think,
Absolutely. Yeah.
yeah, people hear union and they're like, oh, I don't necessarily want to do the political side of it, but it's not all political. Like they have so many other opportunities, for educators.
And I've heard too people say, I'm not ready. I'm too early in my career. You don't
No,
have to be
never.
ready for anything. You start off small. It's just sometimes it's just attending meetings or workshops. And then you just see where it goes. And that might be it for you. And that is okay too. So,
Just having your face and your name be recognizable so that when
yes.
you are wanting to take that extra leap, you're not a quote unquote stranger. You're not coming in cold. They know your face, they know your name, they know you've been around and working. Towards the goal of bettering yourself. So it helps a lot.
And I will say too, another thing that also helps. I don't know how many of you are on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very powerful because even before I became a teacher in my EC days, my first full-time EC job was through LinkedIn. Someone had found me on LinkedIn. And that was years ago. Now it's just there's a huge community there. I actually, so going back to what you're saying, Amanda, so again, too, for my union, I do a lot of equity workshops for teachers in the primary years. And because I had posted what I'd done on LinkedIn, I got approached. I'm not going to go into too many details yet because nothing's been finalized, but I got approached by a university, a teacher's that provides teachers college program. And in hope, I'm hoping that in the spring I might be teaching one of their ECE based courses. So that's the other thing too. So put yourself out there. Like, even if it's just your, you know, because LinkedIn, it's basically your resume. Yep. Do that, but also post the things that you're doing as well. And Amanda does a great job at this on Instagram, and I love following all her stuff. And I'm still learning. I'm not great at it. I'm still learning how to do that as well. But I find that is how you connect with people also, and teachers, but also other organizations that are related to education.
I know that we'll probably get into some of this as well, but I was applying for a position at the school board level. And one of the things I did is I uploaded my portfolio, my professional portfolio, to my LinkedIn profile so that I could leave it with the people who were interviewing me. And I could say, like, here's my LinkedIn profile. It has my portfolio to see more of what I'm doing in the classroom. And I think that was maybe part of the reason why I got that job, because not putting down other ECEs, but as an ECE, that's not something that we were ever really taught or knew about. Like, mm-hmm. That's just something that I came across years ago that I was like, oh, I should definitely have my LinkedIn profile available to potential employers. So that's just something to keep in mind, that it could even put you like not above the rest, but give you that extra little
highlight you.
Spark.
It's so helpful. So I find LinkedIn and just being involved with the union are two things that, my third thing is the whole Instagram, social media world. I'm new to this. I don't know how long you've been on, Amanda. This is like my first, I'm coming up to like 1 year. And sometimes it's like, whoa. Yeah.
8 years, 8, 9 years.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But also you, and I, again, this is, I'm going to highlight like something that you're doing now. I don't have a TPT store, but that is another thing. That's like an outside of the classroom side gig, whatever you want to call it, to provide resources. There's so many teachers, educators, even child and youth workers, speech and language pathologists. A lot of people have stuff on TPT. And so that's like another, and I am one to use a lot of the things on TPT. So I appreciate you teachers that are working hard, those educators that are working hard and doing all those resources. So thanks for that.
Yeah. Social media has opened up a lot of opportunities for me personally. It really opens you up to a bigger world. So you're kind of in the classroom doing your own little thing. And when you start, you know, building those relationships through social media, it really does open the door to a lot of the opportunities that are out there through workshops, through networking. Like you've said, social media has brought me to like even you, like I'm getting to know different people that are able to, you know, come on the podcast and talk about their experiences, or I get to go on their podcast and talk about my experiences. Like, there's just so many opportunities out there to make those relationships through social media. And it's really been a wild ride on Instagram.
Yeah, it is. I'm still navigating because for me, I don't know. I kind of went on just for ideas, mm-hmm. and it's kind of morphed into something else because now I have like social media friends but the inspiration that you get, it is amazing. I gotta go through my saved posts and organize them, because just so many ideas. I think I don't know how teachers or educators did this before.
I don't understand. It's just how
did you do this before? Like, we have so many resources at the tip of our fingers. Even if you're not on social media, you just Google something.
Yeah.
And then you can find all this information. So it's phenomenal for me. I'm enjoying the ride on social media.
And I've learned so much from other educators because I follow, reading specialists. I think they're called like in this, and they have different terms in the United States, but like there's reading specialists. I can follow speech and language pathologists. I can follow science of reading experts. I can follow, outdoor education experts. There's just so many people out there, and I know in Ontario, I was listening to a news segment yesterday about Quebec. We have no supports for the classroom. Like, there's nobody coming in to help us support us. And I'm finding that, the people on social media who are sharing their expertise are really becoming my classroom supports. Like, it's bonkers.
But it's so true. It's so, and especially, we're not, this is my opinion, we're not supported in Ontario by our government in terms of education. So it's nice to have that outlet and to know that you're not alone, because I think teaching and working in education is a different experience for different people. Depending on your role, the students you have, your school community, your school board, the childcare center you work at, there's a lot of factors. So if you have something to reach out to, that's great.
And it also opens up another perspective to the world. Whereas, like, I get to see what others are doing and experience in their classrooms all over the world, and it really helps you broaden your understanding of kindergarten education, but also just as like a human being. Like, I get to see so many different perspectives.
And the representation. So you can follow for any social, ethnic, religious, whatever group, there's an educator there. And so you can learn from them. And that's what I like too. And just finding resources.
So we've talked about Union, we've talked about LinkedIn, we've talked about the importance of social media. Did you have any other side gigs or things that you wanted to chat about as well before I get into some of my ideas as, for this too?
Sure. So I mentioned, did I mention the volunteering part? So
No. Well, you kind of like touched on it, but then didn't really go into it.
So not all of my side gigs are income based, and that's okay because I do it for the passion. So my other thing is go back, whatever education institution that you went to get your certificate, diploma, degree, whatever it is, go back to them. So I am part of the Oisley Alumni Association. So as I mentioned before, I did my teacher's college with York, and then I did my master's in education with OISE. And so right now I'm part of their College of Electors. So their College of Electors, it's a governing body. We help vote in people, decision makers, I guess you could say, for OISE. Essentially, in a nutshell, that's what we do. But again, there's a lot of networking there too. But I also volunteer with the Alumni Association for OISE, and there's great activities for fun. We go to Blue Jays games and art classes, and there's a mentor program as well. So wherever you went to, I'm pretty sure that every institution has that kind of that volunteer opportunity. So go back, and because that's networking too, like. And then you end up talking to people that aren't in education as well. And I like that. I like to diversify my connections, you know? It's
And
just
you
good to know
never
people.
know what
Never.
opportunities can come out of, even if they're not part of the education world. You just never know.
No, you never know. Like, so going back to like the opportunities. So I didn't even know why I didn't mention it. So for Awecta, there's a No More campaign. So because I had done a lot of work with my union and some work with provincial, I became the, I guess, one of the faces of the campaign. So I did a lot of videos talking about education and the needs in education. And like I had a little celebrity moment where I was on billboards and I was on the radio, and it was just, that was wild. So that was like not what I thought was coming. And it was interesting while it lasted. Don't think I could ever be a celebrity or have that all going on, but I was proud to advocate for educators and education. That was the goal for me. And I liked it because people would recognize me, and then I can have a conversation about what's really going on in the classroom. So that was good.
Yeah,
I don't think I have any more.
Yeah, there's so many opportunities that can come out of just getting to know people. And even if it doesn't seem like it's quite linked to your position at the moment, you just never know what opportunities will arise from just getting to know people outside of like the education world. So, yeah, I love that alumni volunteering. I've never thought of it before, so this is a
Yeah.
that's a great one to put into the back of my mind, thinking about that.
And you can mentor, like you could. So they every year I get paired with one or two new students into the program. And yeah, I like that. We talk and I learn from them because they're the newbies.
Yeah.
Newbies have the
Oh my
greatest, like
gosh.
they're
Yeah.
so passionate. And I'm just like, wow, I didn't know this, this, and this.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They've got the freshest like research and development just
Yes.
coming right out of school. They've got the like the most recent information that you can have. So yeah, they you can learn
Absolutely.
so much from mentoring as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the things that I do want to mention, and it's something that has provided a lot of opportunities for me, even within the school board your or school district that you're working for, there are tons of opportunities that are outside of the classroom, no matter what your role is. So if you are looking to stay kind of in the education realm, but are wanting to maybe try something new, signing up for the job postings within your board is so important. I know I can't even count the number of times that I've heard educators say, "Oh, I didn't even know that was a job position," or "I didn't see any job postings." And I always tell them, like, there's a way, the internet has made everything so much easier. There is a way to sign up to receive notifications for job postings
Oh,
whenever they come
wow.
out.
Learn something new.
And I get them, usually, like, and sometimes they have nothing to do with me, like, "Oh, supply intervener. I cannot be an intervener." Like, that's not something that I can personally do. But usually every morning I wake up to an email to a few positions that have been posted within my school board. So you can definitely sign up for job postings. And I've had so many opportunities come out of that within my school board that wasn't necessarily in the classroom. So whatever platform your school board uses, I forget the name of my, I think our school board uses something called Apply to Education.
Oh yes, our
Yeah.
board does that too, but not for all present. I don't know. Just do your
Yeah.
research.
Yeah, do your research and then you fill in your own profile and then you can sign up for an email that is sent to you whenever a job posting semi even relates to you. So that is definitely something I would highly recommend.
I'm so glad that you brought that up because and again, I know that I'm probably not going to mention something in this podcast. I'm going to forget something. But so the other piece too, boards have programs in the summer.
Yes.
So if you are willing, and I'm not encouraging this by any means, it's only if you're willing because summers are precious. There are, I know my board, there were literacy camps, there were like camps to support students transitioning into high school. I worked a week at a camp for students with autism. So all students with autism, it was directly created for them and their needs. I did that for a week. And my school board had a partnership with Erin Oak as well. There are so many things, or there was a point where there was like after school tutoring. So if you are looking for some extra income, and you are and it's not going to tear apart your personal life. We have to keep that in mind too,
Yep,
the
no, that
balance.
balance. Yep.
Oh, it's yes. Apply to those as well. And they do pay well, and it's with the board, so it just you get an extra paycheck added on. But again, the balance. So yes, I'm recommending all these things. Please be mindful. I overdo it sometimes and I have to check myself. My partner is like, okay, can you just sit down for a little bit and just not do anything? And every year I've learned to just set goals for myself. I make a list of things that I did the year before and I cross out anything I'm not willing to do. And I have ready my response for that email that says, hey, you want to do it again? Or it's something that I really the balance is important. So yes, we're talking about all this extra stuff, but please take care of yourselves.
A
Our
hundred.
job's enough. Alone, just being an educator alone is very taxing.
Yeah. As an ECU who only is on a 10-month contract, who doesn't get paid over the summer, sometimes, having those little bridges over the summer of little programs, like our school board did that too, literacy. I think it was like a government funded thing for school boards where they were able to host like literacy camps or literacy
Yes.
tutoring. I don't even know what they were called over the summer. Transition programming for kindergartens to grade one or kindergartens coming into the school. There was lots of that that we, our school board also had over the past few years. I didn't see any for this summer, but we had a lot of writing teams. So we would come together and write the documents that educators needed for new programs or to like update things. The writing teams, I have to say, was one of my favorite things to do. So yeah, and again, like just putting your name out there for these positions, you might not
Game
get them the
changer.
first year. You like the first time you apply, they're probably like, who is this person if you have not, taken part of them before? But just putting your name out there, even if it's just like, I don't know if I'll be able to do this, put your name out there, just try. And then over time, it'll start building that reputation where they'll people at the school board levels will start to get to know you. And that's really important.
And start simple. Sometimes it's not necessarily applying for the job, but maybe there's a workshop happening. Attend the workshop. Attend the workshop, talk to people, and they do know. They do know. They see your name. They do
Oh,
recognize your name.
100%. They do see names.
They do see names. Because I remember when I first started, this was even when I was an EA, I was going to workshops because I also wanted to understand the curriculum that I was supporting students and teachers in the classroom. So but then it came to a point where you'd walk in and they'd know you by name and you're like, hi. So just the little things, just, and that could just be your way in, just observing and taking a workshop. But back to the writing teams, I'm glad you mentioned that. That is an, also one of my side gigs. A couple years ago, it was during the pandemic, actually. I, because there's a lot of, I'm very, I'm, myself and some of my colleagues are pushing the anti-Black racism. It is systemic. We do know that it's in our education systems. So I'm doing a lot of work around that. And my board asked me to create a set of resources for the primary years to have those conversations about race and differences and stuff like that. So yes, that was, it was, I was a little nervous about that. And going back to what you're saying, I didn't think I could do it. Like when I was asked, I was like, I don't know about this. But then I did it and I was so proud of myself after. And I learned something. And that information has helped me with the workshops that I now do because I pull for some of those resources so that it all connects. And then you
It
end up
really
with a
comes
lot of
all back
stuff in your
together.
back. Yeah, you end up with all the stuff in your back pocket and you can whip it out when you can. Yeah.
I've done a couple writing teams. I think I've done two writing teams over the summer months so far. And not only do you get to learn so many new things, but I don't know if you were by yourself, but I was with a group of educators and I got to learn so much from them and hear from their perspectives as well. So it helped me grow my practice in like a number of different ways. So even though, yes, I'm on a writing team, I'm getting paid to be on this writing team and update documents or write documents, whatever we're doing. But then I also got the added benefit that I was like, oh my gosh, I have so many new ideas to go into the new school year with. Like it kind of rejuvenated me in a way.
Agreed. It was myself. So there was a whole team, but like it was separated in divisions. So I was part of the elementary division. But again, I had the lens of the ECE kind of. So the teachers I worked with, although they're qualified elementary teachers, their experience level with these conversations in primary. So it was a lot of, we had a lot of discussions and we're just exchanging experiences with discussions about race in the classroom. And I like that. Because I like to talk to other educators about what that's like in the classroom. So again, back to what you're saying, the networking, the learning, the different perspectives, it's just nice. It's really nice.
So definitely those job postings, getting connected somehow to make sure you're not missing out on any of those opportunities. Because I can't even count how many times I've been like, oh, I joined this writing team over the summer. It's 2 weeks, it's paid. And then other people would be like, well, how did you even know that existed?
Yeah.
And I would say, well, because I signed up for the job postings and I get them sent to my email, and that's how I know that they're available. And I became a facilitator at the board level. They're called different things at different school boards and districts, but basically, like, I was a resource for early childhood educators and kindergarten classroom educators that could, send me an email, and I would go support them with resources, with learning, with whatever they needed.
Awesome.
And again, that was a job posting that was put out by the school board, and I was like, meh, this looks interesting. I'm gonna apply. I did not get it the first year because I hadn't applied to anything since I got my job. I wasn't active at the school board level, so they didn't know who I was. And so that first year, it was just I got to meet the people at the school board level just with my interview. I got to meet all the quote unquote higher ups that are up there. And then the next year, I applied again, and I wasn't, just a name on a piece of paper anymore. I was a face. I was somebody that they connected to. And so definitely, you might not get it the first year, but don't let that, or the first time you apply, don't let that discourage you. Just keep going and keep applying and put your name out there and go to workshops and do things, because you just never know what opportunities are lying ahead.
At the very least, you come back with some new resource or some new learning, at the very least, and you can't go wrong with that.
No,
You
you
really
really don't.
can't.
And the other thing is, I know at our school board level, pre-COVID now, I'm finding there's not as many opportunities at my school board for this, but hosting professional development. So they would put out a call to educators saying, like, hey, we're having this professional development day, or we're hosting this professional development day. Anybody have any ideas for PD that, or a workshop that they would like to host? And I started doing those. And that's another way I really got my name out there, is, providing my expertise in a way to other educators.
So you've done your side. I know the con we're having this conversation, and I'm sharing my experiences, but you've done a lot, quite a bit yourself, Amanda.
Yeah, I do. I one of the things I loved about being a facilitator was the professional development. I
Yeah.
love researching professional development because I get to learn so much. Like, I'm like, I think I'm an expert in this subject. Let's do some professional development around it. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've learned so much.
And you find resources because you need to
Yes.
find them for the people in your workshop. Like, that's what I liked about it. I found like these amazing resources and links and websites and yeah.
Yeah. So hosting professional development at the school board level, like, there's just so many opportunities outside of the classroom, but still within your school board if that's where you feel more comfortable.
Right.
So I've done workshops at the school board, at the union level. Like, just look for those opportunities. Those are fantastic ones.
But I will say, I agree with you. I don't know, after post-pandemic, there aren't a lot of workshops.
No.
And now they do this thing where it's like, and they'll offer something virtual after school or lunch, and
Yeah.
people aren't interested. And I understand that, because staring at a screen, we've all been there. It's rough to sit and learn in front of a screen. But I still attend, and I'll just be at home and clean and listen. So it
I take
works.
them sometimes as like it's like a podcast episode where I can just
Yes.
listen and I
Yes.
can learn, but it's not necessarily as face to face as it used to be.
Yes. And I think I do miss the
I
face-to-face.
do too.
I love the convenience of the new, as you said, like podcast type workshops, but we'll see what happens in the future. There's a lot of funding and
Yeah,
stuff
that's the
like
problem.
that.
A lot
Yeah.
of people will complain, not complain, but notice that the school boards are not hosting as much professional development, and will blame it not on the school boards. And I'm not necessarily taking all the blame off of the school boards,
Right.
but there used to be a lot more funding from the government level to host professional development, and that's how professional development used to be created and funded. Was they would get all this money, let's say for math, and then
Yeah.
they could pull educators out of classrooms and have supply educators come in for them, and, like, have the lunch catered into the professional development. But that funding over the past few years has really dried up. And
It
so,
has.
yeah, finding those opportunities are few and far between. But again, keep your ear to the ground, and if they start popping up again, it'll be a great opportunity to do.
And I think there are other so yes, there the school board level PD isn't there as much, but even going back to your union over the summer, even while I was on vacation, there were workshops that were virtual that I just listened to. One was on math for my union, and one was on literacy in kindergarten. So I like those as well. So just keep on a lookout for that. I think I'm going to start sharing more of those kind of opportunities now that we have this discussion with some of my colleagues. But that, see that even in this podcast that I'm in right now, I'm still thinking, and I just got an idea. I'm like, start sharing the links with people that you know. So thanks for that.
Yeah, I anytime I see something interesting for either, the kindergarten level or school-wide level pop up, I'm constantly sending emails like, "Hey, I just saw this come up." Because the other thing is, if we want more opportunities like this, and if you want to have opportunities to present professional development or whatever it is, they have to have like people go to them. They are not going to get any more funding if nobody's taking the professional development. And that's it's like that chicken and egg, like which one came first? Like nobody's going to them, so they don't have them anymore, or vice versa. So we really need to make sure that we're attending the opportunities. And I know, again, don't we need that balance? We don't want to stretch ourselves too thin, but supporting those opportunities that other educators have worked really hard to put together is also really important.
Oh, for sure. I agree with you.
I'm trying to think if there's any other things that I've networked out of the classroom, and I'm drawing a huge blank.
I am too, and I know I'm going to get off with you, and I'm
I
going to be
know,
like,
and I'm gonna
I should have said that. I should have said that. It's what else have I done? I don't know. It's just it becomes so much of a natural part of my doing each year that I just forget that it's like an extra thing. I can't remember. So I talked about
We
the
talked
extra.
about unions, making sure we're on LinkedIn, using social media to network, volunteering, and I've talked about making sure we're looking at the job postings within our school board itself to see if there's any opportunities out there. I think that's all I've done.
I think that's all I've done too.
I just want to make sure we're not missing anything, because like my
I
brain,
know.
I will forget.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's just all the some of the things are like kind of the same things, but with different organizations. I'm not going to go down the list of like, and I did this, and I did this. I think everybody will get the gist of what we're saying.
I think it's also about finding what you're passionate about and like
100%.
honing in on that. Like when I was a facilitator, one of the biggest questions that I was asked, and this was an educator who was new to kindergarten, and it really shaped my professional development, my professional understandings for the like since then. And that was like 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a simple question. I went to her classroom. She wanted support in the classroom. I went over and she just asked me one of the simplest but hardest questions that I've ever been asked: how do you teach kids how to read? And it led me down a path of, trying to crack that, like, how do you answer that question? How do you teach kids how to read? And this was before the big push for science of reading or structured literacy instruction. And I was like, I will get back to you, and
Let
I
me
will
research this.
let me figure this out for you. Thinking like the next week I'd come in with a resource and be like, here, this is what you do. And it really shaped my learning journey from then until now, and it really helped me develop my passion for how do children learn how to read? How do we teach these 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds in our kindergarten classrooms how to read, which is such an important skill, but there's so much that goes into it.
There's so much that goes into it, and there's so many variables that impact it. So it's navigating all of that.
So
That's
yeah. That very simple question has led down a 5-year learning journey for me. And I ignited a passion in something that I didn't even like think about at all before.
It's, but going back to the passion piece, don't, my advice, do not engage with something that you are not passionate about. And don't do it because there's a lot of talk like it'll help me move ahead. Yes, but you'll be moving ahead in a direction that you weren't comfortable with necessarily to begin with. So what I mean by that is if you are not the type of person that wants to do a workshop, don't do
Yeah.
it. You know what I mean? There are other ways you can still or change it up. So maybe you might call some of your colleagues at school and say, hey, after school, I'm going to do a little quick session to talk about ABC. If you're interested, show up. So it's just, I feel like you just need to listen to yourself and just follow that. The one other thing that I did want to mention is for teachers, we have to take additional qualifications to move up. Speaking of like moving up in pay scale or to specialize. Look for the discounts there.
Yes.
So what I mean by that is like I completed my math specialist and my school board paid for it because the funding was there. So when that email comes out, our board is offering blah, 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 blah. Please take advantage of it. Or another thing is the bursaries, your union will provide bursaries. So every few years when I'm interested in taking a course, I will email my union and they just ask you a few questions about to so they know who you are, how long you've been teaching, and you pay up front for your course and then you get reimbursed for it. So
As
that's
an
something.
ECU, we had that as well.
Yes.
But
Oh, yes.
our contract was up this year, so I don't think we had it this past year, but definitely the year before, I took full advantage. I think I went over my allocated like budget for myself, but they still provided the funding because I was like, I'm gonna make sure that
Milk it.
just take advantage of it.
It's
So
free PD
yeah,
if you
read
think
those
about it.
union emails. Read those union emails.
Yes, I'm with Amanda on this one. Read the union emails, all the opportunities, show up for things that they offer if you can. It's so important.
Yeah, the definitely the networking that happens. Our union even hosts like candle making workshops where you're like candle making workshops, but you get there and you get to talk to, the union reps and you get to talk to other educators, and all of a sudden, again, your face, your name gets out there for other opportunities. Something that you said just now triggered something in my brain about after school, like, oh, I'm going to talk to educators after school about this and this topic. If you're hesitant to host a professional development session for the union, for, or do a workshop for your school board and you want to do it on a smaller scale, you definitely can approach your admin team, your principal, your vice principal, and say, hey, I have this great opportunity to, or I have this great experience with such and such, I don't know, topic.
Yeah.
Can I host a professional development? Can I host a lunch and learn, whatever it might be? And like they'll be all over that. And now you've gotten that experience. Like it's a smaller scale, it's people you know, and it's one of those things that can really help, make you more comfortable with that.
Demonstrated some leadership for, for future. Yeah.
Yeah, I love doing book clubs. So I know my school is very into book clubs. Our school board loves book clubs. And so like, you might be able to, if you find a really great book, you might be able to approach your admin about hosting a book club. And then it doesn't always fall on you either, because as part of the book club, it's more of like a conversation with all the educators. You're just kind of planning it out more or less. And so it takes some pressure off of you. So a book club is another great way to do that at your
I had
school.
not thought of that. I like that idea. Yeah.
We're doing a great one. They started it last year and they're continuing it into this school year about executive functioning. They're doing a book club around that, and our admin team just like bought almost anybody who wanted to take the book club, as long as you showed up, you got the book for free. Like they
Oh,
paid.
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm coming to your school.
I know. So you can definitely approach your admin about doing things like that. And, it they probably won't provide you release time to do it during
Right.
paid hours. But again, if it's something you're passionate about and something you want to share with other educators, a half an hour for a couple weeks after school or during lunch might be that opportunity that you're looking for.
And it builds that network. So I don't know about you, this is probably off topic, but we'll go with it. I found after the pandemic that the school community, some communities were closer, but I think at my school, I just felt like everybody was tired. So the energy that was left over at the end of the day, everybody just wanted to take that with them home, which is totally understandable. But I feel like this last year, things have kind of been picking up. So a book club would be perfect for something like that. So thank you,
Yeah,
Amanda.
book clubs. I love book clubs.
Yeah.
If you tell me you're giving me a book to read, I will be all over that.
Yes.
And like you have to pick and choose your opportunities. Like I talk about this when I talk about professional development. I usually set myself a professional development goal, so I'm not like just shiny object syndrome, like just going everywhere.
Yes.
But
Yes.
if you offer me a book, chances are I will be there because I'm one of those like people who love learning, and I will hop on any book. I love reading books, so definitely looking into hosting book clubs at the school level is also just a fun way to put your face and your name out there.
Going back to what you're saying about goal setting, though. So, in the grand scheme of this discussion, I think it's very important to set goals. I think I mentioned it a little bit before. So, for me, I personally, September is my new year. And that's because January, like I'm already stuck in whatever I'm doing. But I like to think about personal goals and I set those for myself. And then I set the professional goals for myself as well. And sometimes there's conflict between the two. And sometimes they go hand in hand. So I think that's also important. And also my new thing, Teacher Meg's online. She's on one of the, she had posted, I think last week or a few days ago, about taking care of yourself, something around there. And that really spoke to me because I think I'm going to focus on a health goal
Nice.
as well for the new year. And so that just might mean maintaining health. It might mean improving health, whatever it is. But I think I'm throwing that in there because the mental health piece, it's, I have terrible anxiety. I have for my whole life. And I still struggle with that. But I think last year I went in really hard with work and all the extra things. So now I have to kind of cancel some things off my list a little bit. And that's okay too. It's important to do that, actually, to audit your life, you know?
Yeah, you don't want it, like we've talked about taking these opportunities, but you can't put too much on your plate. Like
No.
you can't pour from an empty cup. So making sure you are putting yourself out there, but also ensuring that you are maintaining your mental health and you're able to, you still have to be able to do your job like day to day. And
Yes.
it's hard. Being an educator is already hard enough, but if you are looking for those opportunities, making sure that they align with your passions and align with your goals, whether they be professional or personal, is really important as well.
10,000%. Because you're not functioning, you're not going to be doing well on anything if you're not taking care of yourself and just making sure that, and I say this, do I stay up extra late to binge watch sometimes? Absolutely. Do I say yes when really I want to say no to like an offer to do something? Absolutely. I'm not perfect at it. It's just managing that. You know, we're not going to be perfect at anything. It's figuring it out, but being aware of what we're doing is important.
A couple of other things that I just thought of right now. Even within the school, there's other roles that you can take on. So this past year, I became well, I be we had a huge kindergarten team, but we need kindergarten leads. So people who, kind of not speak for the team, but like we'll communicate with the admin team and like, make sure that we're having our monthly meetings and that we're all communicating and things are running smoothly and organizing things. So, because we had such a big team, we decided that we were going to have co-leads last year. And so I became a co-lead of our kindergarten team last year. So that was just a little role that just gave me some experience. I had to touch base a lot with the admin team. I had to make sure we were organized. That's a little thing that I can put on my resume, to say that I was a kindergarten lead, which is just a great opportunity. And it didn't take me a ton of extra time from like what I
No.
was already doing. I just needed to,
That's
host
because
it.
I know in various schools that I've been, there have been like math leads,
Yes.
literacy leads. And so what in one of the schools that I was at, what that also entailed is our math resource room. They'd be responsible for the resources there, make sure they're organized. Same thing with literacy, equity leads as well. So that in my board, that's a thing where you go every few months, you go to a board equity meeting, and then you come back with the information to your school. So that's also another little thing as well. Also, if you're in sport, into sports, like something I think we overlook coaching, or if you're into, like, I don't know, knitting, for lack of a better example, and you would like to teach the kids some knitting, like do stuff like that. Anything you're passionate about and you want to continue that, that's a way to go as well.
Like, I'm just even thinking like the Terry Fox run. Like, they need people
Yes.
to organize like those
Yes.
things. And so those are just those little opportunities that will get you started
Yes.
on
Get
this
your feet
path.
wet.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
on this path of finding roles outside the classroom that you're passionate about. It's just those little things. Like, I organized the what is it called now? I don't know. It's the when you're meeting the new students that are coming in the next year. I forget what we usually call it, but
Like a, I know what you mean,
yeah, like
but I
we
can't
have
remember
a
either.
we host a night for families that will be new to our school
Welcome to
community.
kindergarten.
Yeah, it's like a welcome to
Yes.
kindergarten kind of
Yeah.
night. Different school boards call them different things.
Yes.
I organized all of that, made sure that that was planned and ready to go. So having having those little opportunities to organize things, just volunteer a little bit of your time within your school community. Families will get to know you, your admin will get to know you. It's just finding those little spaces for yourself for
Yes, I
passions.
like that. Finding the spaces for yourself. Like, where can you put yourself in there and learn and network and
You don't have to jump right into hosting like a 3 hour long professional development session. Like, you can
no.
just be like, hey, I'll take on the Terry Fox run this year, or whatever. Maybe again, you're passionate about knitting, or it's something that you're passionate about outside of school. We have a scrapbooking club at
Oh,
our
that's awesome.
yeah at
Yeah.
our school. We've had ukulele clubs in the past. Like, our music teacher puts on a musical and needs volunteers to help with costumes. Like, there's so many things just happening within your own school
To
that,
start.
yeah, to just to get your feet wet and to start and figure out, what next steps you want to take in your own professional journey as well.
On the further end of, like, you're just diving in. Also, look at consultantships. I've looked at them in the past. I personally, it's not for me. So, what a consultant does essentially is they work at the board level. And so there's different consultants for different things. So there's early years
Yeah,
consultants
I
in,
think that's what
yeah.
I like. Mine was a, they would call them facilitators.
Yes. So stuff like that. Again, those postings do come out, and if you're qualified, I just like always like to read over the posting
Yes.
just so I understand what's happening. And just every year I read them over, and every year I said, no, it's not for me. And then that's just my choice. But for Amanda, it worked for you and for other
And I will
people.
be, I've been honest with this over the years. Like, I did it for 2 years. Probably the worst 2 years to have done it because it was a strike year,
Oh,
and then
wow.
we went into the pandemic, and then the second year was full pandemic shutdown year.
Oh,
So
wow.
I probably chose the 2 worst years to do it. But after the second year, I was like, I don't think this is quite for me anymore. I need roles where I'm still in the classroom.
That's where I am. My heart is in
Yes.
the classroom. I can
And
add
so,
on things, but
yeah.
not leave.
And
Yeah.
so I prepared myself and I said, you know what? This is not for me right now. Maybe 5 years from now, I'm gonna be like, take me out of here. I need to go back to the school board level. Get me out. But yeah, you have to figure out like those job postings that come out, what's good fit. And yeah, we had different ones. Like, we had ones for early childhood educators in the early years. There's some for math, there's some for literacy, there's some
Yes.
for, oh, I forget what they were.
Beckett and
Yeah, there was some around equity work within the
yeah. student well-being. There's so many. Yeah.
Indigenous education. So
Yeah.
there really is spaces for everybody.
You can find your passion and run with it. I think that's the takeaway. Find what you are passionate about and then just keep. But the thing about that too is, as we spoke of, sometimes you find something you're passionate about and it leads to like a new passion. And that's great too. That means you're learning and growing.
And I will say, as an early childhood educator, I need to put this out there. We need more early childhood educators in leadership roles.
I agree with you 1,000,000,000%. I really do. I really
It's
do.
really something that is needed. We have a different set of skills, a different set of a different background of education and understandings around child development. So if you are an early childhood educator, I would highly, highly recommend you start putting your name out there and you start, doing things because we need more early childhood educators in leadership roles. We
And
need
it's just
something.
it's unfortunate that socially, and then this is what really irks me. It's just again that helper idea that, and it's not. And I've had very heated conversations with other people in education about that because it's not. And I always advocate. I always say like it's the truth. I have learned the most about being a teacher. I'm going to say it like that. Being a teacher by my ECE program because I learned about the minds and the brains of children, which is important to teach them. So if you can understand how their bodies and their brains are working, then you can develop an appropriate program, in my opinion. What am I saying in my opinion? It's the truth. It's just the so I and some of my friends that are in EC are in the role of an EC as well. I'm always trying to encourage them to like do different things, and I'm always sending. And unfortunately, in my school board at least, it's I don't see a lot of postings or opportunities for that leadership. So you kind of have to kind of create your own
Opportunity. It's true
opportunity.
because, I, when I fir my first workshop I ever hosted was part of like a bigger PD day. We used to have a tech PD day where our whole school board would have like a day of workshops that you could go to. And I signed up to host a workshop about coding in kindergarten, or no, it was my top five apps to use in a kindergarten classroom because we had all have iPads. And so I put in my application to do it. I had my outline. I did everything. I did hide that I was an ECE. And then they approved it. And then they went to go give me my workshop code so that they could provide me with release time because I needed to go do this workshop. And they did not even have a code for an early childhood educator to be able to go to that workshop. And so not luckily, but like they'd already approved me. So they had to make a code, a special code just for me to be able to go to this workshop.
You blaze that trail, Amanda.
Right? Like, and so it would not have happened. And now it's not even like an, oh, we don't have workshop codes for early childhood educators. Like, if it is something happening at our school board, you have to have a code for an early childhood educator. And it wasn't just automatic. Like those early childhood educators, we need to stand up for ourselves. We need to provide those opportunities for ourselves so that we are taken seriously within our roles.
That's what
Because
it is. Unfortunately, and I find especially in the school environment, a lot of the times you're not taken seriously. And don't get me started, Amanda.
I know. Believe me, don't get me started because I
I'm
will be
just
all
like,
over.
it bothers me. And people always like, yes, I'm a teacher now, but again, it's kind of how that rolled out. I am an EC at heart, and I still, like I said, some summers I still go my local daycare and I work there because I just love being an EC. I just love it. I just love everything about it. And again, too, one of the workshops I did for my union, it's a teachers union, a lot of my resources were pulled from the College of Early Childhood Educators because again, that child development piece, and I needed to show that. And I gave them credit all the time. And I'm sure people were looking at me like, wow, that's a lot of ECE information. I'm like, yeah, well, you're teaching primary, so That's
Yeah,
what it's
you
about.
need to know about early childhood brain development and how children learn to learn and all those kind of things. Yep. Amazing. So thank you so much, Jamie, for joining me on the podcast. I feel like we could have just kept talking about
Me
early
too.
childhood education this whole time as well. But I really want to thank you for coming on and joining me
And
this morning.
thank you so much for having me. This was great. I'm so glad to actually meet you. I think we've corresponded a little bit on social media and through email. So thank you so much for having me. I wish you a fantastic school year, and I know we will be in touch.
Amazing. And you can follow Jamie on the.teaching.learner on Instagram, and you can find her on LinkedIn, Jamie Phillip. I will link all of this stuff in the show notes so they'll be able to find you as well.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you so much to Jamie for joining me on this week's episode of the Creating Kindergarten podcast. It has my wheels turning with ideas of next steps I want to take within my own career, you know, things that I want to try out, see if I like them. I love that conversation around finding your passion, and I hope you did too. And I hope that you can think about, you know, the different roles that you would like to take on. We talked a lot about Ontario because we're both educators from Ontario, but make sure that wherever you are from, you are looking into the different opportunities that might be out there so that you can find your passions and, you know, keep extending your learning and your programming and your experiences. So to really find something that is special to you. I apologize. I should have probably mentioned this in the intro. If my sound really nasally, I'm just at the tail end of like a head cold with lots of congestion. It's gotten a lot better. But I probably should have mentioned that at the top of the episode before I started talking and you were maybe wondering what's wrong with my voice. But that is a little thing that I've been dealing with the past couple days. But I want to thank you so much for joining me for this week's podcast episode with Jamie. Again, all of her links will be in the show notes so you can find her. And if you're not already following the Creative Kindergarten podcast on whichever podcasting platform you're listening to me on, please make sure that you do so that you know whenever I put out new episodes, which is usually every Tuesday. And share these episodes with some other educator friends that might be interested in learning more about different roles outside of the classroom or different topics around education and kindergarten. And again, thank you so much for joining me, and I will talk to you all again next time. Bye.